So they can have input into, you know, mental health and health education, nutrition, parenting and relationship education. There's a lot that they can do. So one of the things that we're really pleased about is that government are committed to increasing the numbers so that there's more opportunity for women to have that contact with health visitors.
Well, Julia Manning and Peter Dawson, thank you both very much indeed. We did, of course, ask someone from the government, Anne Milton, the public health minister, to take part this morning. She said no, but we got a statement. Everyone should have the same opportunities to lead a healthy life, no matter what gender they are or where they live. We're committed to reducing health inequalities by addressing the differences in access to and outcomes of NHS treatment. And now the serial. Anne Bronte's The Tenant of Wildfell Hall. Gilbert Markham is continuing to read about the early days of Helen Graham's marriage to the notorious Mr. Huntingdon.
I continued to read Helen's journal with a trembling heart. I knew now who her husband had been, and I instinctively distrusted what lay in the pages ahead. And yet, the early weeks of their marriage passed well enough. They moved to his country estate at Grassdale, and needed no one else for company.
January the 13th, 1822. Sometimes I think my lot too happy. January the 24th. Arthur treats me with such affection, such solicitude. I feel I have never known love before.
Then it came to February.
I wish I could keep you here and never see another soul. You're perfect. There's only one little thing.
What? What have I done?
You don't love me with all your heart.
Arthur, how can you say that?
You didn't look at me once in church today. Now, I like a woman to be religious, and I think your piety one of your greatest charms, but it can be taken a little too far.
Are you asking me not to love God?
I want all of you, my angel.
By March, Huntingdon was already restless and bored. It brought out something spiteful in him. And while he assured his young wife he was only jesting, further cracks began to show. On the 25th came their first quarrel.
I want it to stop raining.
It will.
I want it to stop now.
What are you reading?
Walter Scott.
He looks very dull to me.
Why don't you walk with the dogs? What's funny?
I was thinking of an old friend.
Maybe you should ask him to visit.
That would hardly be appropriate. If she knew I was married, she'd tear my eyes out.
A woman?
Well, yes.
Did you love her?
Lord, no. She was twice my age.
You're still thinking of her?
Not at all. Now I'm thinking of her husband.
She was married?
She didn't love him.
That's no excuse. And if she didn't love him, why did she marry?
She loved his money, my darling.
That's even worse.
Oh, Helen, you are so pious.
If you had told me these things before, Arthur, I would not have married you.
Helen! Why won't you let me in?
I can't. I don't want to see you till morning.
Still cross?
Coffee.
I could do with a drink.
Oh, that?
It's a jest, my love. Any letters?
One from my brother.
What does he want?
To congratulate us on our marriage. Here, Dash.
You shouldn't feed it from the table. Dash, come here. Come here, I said.
Maybe you shouldn't shout.
Get here!
Was that cup meant for the dog or me?
You shouldn't have been in the way. Why do you do things that make me out to be the villain?
Arthur?
And so another door shut quietly between them. There was another day, another night apart, another breakfast where they did not speak.
I'm going to London.
London?
I'm going tomorrow.
Why?
Because my wife doesn't love me.
She would love you with all her heart if you deserved it.
What must I do? What must I do to deserve her?
If she gives you her heart, you must use it well and not pull it in pieces and laugh in her face. Because she cannot snatch it away.
Are you going to forgive me?
Are you penitent?
Heartbroken.
You won't leave me.
No, my love.
You won't go to London?
Oh, I shall still go to London. But my wife will come with me.
At first, the trip to London seemed to enliven the marriage.
10th of April. Arthur seems bent on displaying me to his friends and acquaintances. I must put aside my plain, sober dress and sparkle like a jewelled butterfly.
There followed small hints that things were not what they seemed.
15th of April. I'm fearful all the time that my ignorance about society will disappoint him.
Chance encounters.
Mrs. Huntingdon.
Annabella.
Have you heard the good news? Lord Loughborough and I are to be married. I shall be the respectable woman at last.
On May the 4th, Huntingdon delivered a fresh blow.
I don't think the London air agrees with my angel. She needs to return home.
Oh, Arthur. Can we?
I can't, my love. I have some business to attend to. I need another few days.
A few days? Then I'll stay too.
Or maybe weeks. It's lawyer business. You look pale. Remember your situation, my dearest Helen. On your health depends my future hope.
She returned to Grassdale without him. 2 months passed. In every letter, he promised to be home by the end of the week. And in every letter, he deceived her.
July the 5th. Why won't you come? I would beg my aunt or my brother to visit. But no one must know of my loneliness. July the 13th. Even when I wander in the ancient woods, or sit in the shadow of the ash tree by the pond, still I have no pleasure. The greater the happiness that nature puts before me, the more I lament you are not here to see it. What is it that keeps you away?
On July the 23rd, he returned. But how altered.
He lies on the sofa nearly all day long. Sometimes I read, and sometimes I talk, and sometimes only sit by him and soothe him with silent caresses. I know I am spoiling him, but this once I will forgive him.
You're crying.
No.
Why? You know that I love you.
Do you?
What more could you want?
That you would love yourself as much as I do.
Love myself? Ah, well, no. That would be hard.
I watch him sleep, sinless as a child, and my heart swells.
By September, however, Arthur was himself again.
It is the shooting season, and he has invited a party of his London friends. Mr. Hargrave, our neighbour, is amongst them, with his young sister, Esther. Lord Loughborough is also here. And so is his new wife, Annabella.
Arthur was soon drinking again.
6 more bottles!
And there was worse to come.
October the 9th. I have no one to tell, but my heart will burst if I don't write it. Our guests have been here for over 2 weeks. After dinner this evening, Annabella was singing at the piano while Arthur stood at her side. I rose and selected a new sheet of music, intending to ask her to play. When I stopped, transfixed, Annabella sat with her hand surrendered to his quiet clasp. And my husband pressed it to his lips.
Arthur?
On seeing me, he rushed away. Lady Loughborough did not. She stared right back, as if defying me to speak.
What do you want? Do you want me to go down on my knees? Oh, forgive me. I'll never do it again.
You're laughing. You always laugh at my pain.
It was nothing.
Nothing. To flirt with your friend's wife.
I had taken too much wine.
You often take too much wine.
Oh, well, I'm sorry.
Are the marriage vows a jest? Is it nothing to break them?
You're breaking your marriage vows yourself. You promised to honour and obey me, and here you are, hectoring. I will not be told what to do. Not even by my wife.
So will you go on doing what you choose until I hate you?
You'll never hate me. Will you never learn that you have nothing to fear from me? That I adore you with all my heart?
You'll do it again. You say you won't, but you will.
Please, Helen, don't be in such a passion. It's not good for you or the baby. My angel.
Your husband was merry last night. Is he often so?
No, Annabella. And he never will be again.
You gave him a lecture, did you? I don't wonder at your being angry. I'd give my husband a lesson he wouldn't forget for a lighter offence. But Loughborough will never transgress. He worships the ground I walk on.
I hope you deserve it.
Oh, we're all fallible creatures, Helen. I hope darling Huntingdon deserves your love.
A year after her marriage, Helen's feelings about her husband had changed.
December the 25th. Last Christmas, I was a wife, with a heart overflowing with bliss. Now, my bliss is sobered, though not destroyed.
She also had new concerns.
I am a mother. Little one. There, there, little one. You do not know me. You cannot think of me or love me yet. And yet how grateful I am for the joy that you give to me.
I shall hate that thing if you don't put it down.
He's your son. You'll love him better when you hold him. There. How could you resist?
Take it back now, Helen. I'll drop it if you don't.
Why don't you kiss him?
I'd rather kiss his mother. Wait until it shows me some affection. Then I'll love it just as much as you.
She took comfort from this. Writing.
January the 14th. The worst is surely over. We can begin again.
But I thought of the woman I had come to love, with her reticent smile and her box of paints, alone on the moor with her son. And I feared for Helen. I truly feared.
And episode 6 is on Monday. An email from Frank Lund says, how about an item about us children of mixed marriages? One parent from Yorkshire and one from Lancashire. Oh dear. Bye-bye.
Women's Hour is presented by Jenny Murray. The producer was Janet Wilson. The Tenant of Wildfell Hall by Anne Bronte was dramatised by Rachel Joyce. Gilbert was played by Robert Lonsdale. Helen by Hattie Morahan. Huntingdon by Leo Bill. Arthur by Samuel Bridger. Mr Lawrence by Carl Prekop. And Mrs Markham, Carolyn Pickles. Rose was played by Leah Brotherhead. Eliza by Victoria Innes Hardy. The Reverend Millward by Gerard McDermott. Mrs. Maxwell by Tracy Wiles, Annabella by Emerald O'Hanrahan, and Mr. Borum by James Lely. The director was David Hunter. Mark Steele's back in town.
The idea of the show is that each town in Britain has got hundreds of things about it that are a bit mad. Now, the really intriguing thing here is you don't seem to be sure which country you're in yourself.
So I sort of have to find out what they are and then insult them.
It's like the whole town's got a split personality. It's probably got a special name, like Reverse St George Confused Jock or Not Syndrome.
And then see if I can get away with it, really. I suppose that's the idea.
The new series of Mark Steele's In Town, starting next Tuesday night at 6:30 on BBC Radio 4.